Okay, just switch. Switch to a different device.
Okay, better. Okay, everybody here? So last week we discussed the Clear Summit this year, and how everyone is basically moving to an online Mechira Summit system. We discussed the LCDs involved with that. Just one added Ha'ara that I noticed a interesting idea or suggestion. We discussed that the Nidra Kabbalah's Kinyan when it comes to the Harshah from Mechira Summit is for dinner in the summer, and for under the circumstances to be dispensed with. We quote Rashad, quoting the Rav, that even in this kind of a situation, you could do a Kabbalah Kinyan with someone standing in on behalf of the rabbi doing the Mechira for the Bala, that the rabbi there be involved. There, you can't hear.
It's a little choppy.
It's hard to hear.
Do you have both still on, Rabbi?
No, I turned the other one off. Is this better?
So far.
Yes, that was better.
Okay, let me know if there's a problem again, and I can try to figure something else out.
Okay.
My sister in Ramat Beis Shemesh sent the Mechiras Chametz guidelines from the rabbi of her shul, a Rabbi Margolis, who actually spoke in our shul, I think, last summer when he was fundraising in America. So he had the following idea how to still be mekayim the Kabbalah's Kinyan while adhering to social distancing. He arranged that there were four different balabatim in the shul that would have a box of pencils on their front porch or in front of their apartment, whatever, and then there'd be a netilas kedayim cup belonging to the rabbi. So everyone on their own would come at some point and pick up the pencil belonging to the rabbi and put it in the netilas kedayim cup belonging to the rabbi, and that would be a kiyum and a kabbalas kinyan using kelos of the rabbi. Okay, that's innovative, but a little bit complex, and probably it won't work for most people. I thought tonight we'd discuss some of the halachic issues related to Pesach that have come up in recent weeks, given the circumstances we find ourselves in. So number one is how to have a siyum for Tanis Bechorim this year, and the siyum in generally, unless someone has completed a Masechta, or will complete a Masechta on their own, will be accessible via Zoom, via telephone, conference call, some other kind of hookup that is not live. The source for Tanis Bechorim Bechlal is a passage in Meseches Sofrim. Tosfos makes reference to this in Psachim Daf Kufches Amid Aleph. The Gemara there quotes a Maisa that Rosh Hashanah, one of the Amoraim, had the practice of fasting on Erev Pesach, and Tosfos implicitly is bothered that this seems to be against a minhag not to fast during the month of Nisan. So Tosfos there has a number of suggestions to address this difficulty. First, Tosfos says that that doesn't really mean he fasted in the strict sense of the word, just that he was careful not to eat too much so that he'd be able to eat matzah l'te'ava. And then Tosfos says, no, maybe he really was mekabel tanis in order to prevent himself from not having proper te'ava or eating matzah b'chila gasa, and that would be permissible under the circumstances. And Tosfos then references the passage in Masechet Sofrim that even though our minhag is not to fast during Chodesh Nisan, but the Bechorim would fast during Chodesh Nisan. If you have the Marma comments in front of you, that Masechet Sofrim is in the beginning of Perek of Aleph. I'll try to share it with you on the screen here for a moment. So there, the Masechet Sofrim writes as follows. Amos Anin Ashi Aver Nisan, we don't fast during the month of Nisan. Ela Bechorosh and Masan of Erev Pesach. The firstborn do fast in Erev Pesach. That's new in Beshvila Matzah of Kadeshi Kansula Pesach B'Tayava. And some people have the practice of Rav Sheshes fasting on Erev Pesach so that they would be able to eat the matzah with the requisite appetite and gusto. So in the Rishonim, there are different indications as to how widespread this practice of Tanis B'chorim was. The Meiri in source number 3 writes as follows. He quotes the Maseches Sofrim, and he says, Chaynogim b'mitzas mekamas b'ashkenaz b'sarfas v'ein b'sarach hechreach klal. That this was the practice in some communities in Germany and France, but it's not absolutely convincing that this is necessarily the correct minhag. This is, however, quoted in Shulchan Aruch in the beginning of Siman Tov Ayin Arachayim. Then the Mechaber says that the practices of B'chorim do fast on Erev Pesach. However, the Mishnah Brura in Sifkat and Yud notes various minhagim as to whether having or participating in a Sudas Mitzvah would pater a B'chor from this Tanis. And the Mishnah Brura concludes that the prevalent minhag is to rely on participation in such a Sudas Mitzvah, including a Sima Sechta, that lo mi bai a Sudas Bris Milah, or a Sudas Pinyan Aben, where that definitely is a Sudas Mitzvah, but even a Sudas Siyam Masechta, which may be a slightly lower grade Sudas Mitzvah, participation in such a Sudah would be enough to pater a Bechor from the Tanis. And Mishnah Brura says that is the prevalent minhag. Why did that minhag develop so broadly? The Aruch HaShulchan has the following suggestion in that siman to is hey. The Aruch HaShulchan writes as follows, source number 6 of the Marmor Koma sheet. Al bris mila opinion of ben yachal b'chor lecho. The yesh mishikasev dafka shayachem la mitzvah k'mo bal bris v'sanda k'moel. So, goes to the Magen Avraham, that even if you attend the Sudas bris mila, it's only the Bali Simcha that can break their fast. The yesh mishomer that make lechal adam Sudas mitzvah lehis v'pri chadash. Amnam says the Aruch HaShulchan, ata zekama doros, it's already been many generations, shemakilim legamri b'tanis b'chorim, v'hayna b'sim ha-mesechta, v'lo levad halomed, ela b'chor miskamsim, saviv ha-mesayim, bad enough for it be one thing that the Messiah himself would break his fast. But everyone gathers around the Messiah, and Messiah mimo, v'ochlim, v'nispasim chitzeh b'chol medino, so everyone relies on this. V'eni adua, ne'ayin lam lahakal kokach, where did this come from? So a lot is going on at Erev Pesach. We're not as strong as we used to be, and there's a lot to do at Erev Pesach, and eating maror isn't so good for your health. You're talking about presumably the chrein that they had in Europe. They didn't have our lettuce. So therefore people felt it would be difficult to fast. And since this whole notion of Tanis B'chorim is not mentioned beferish in the Gemara, Yushami may be dafka the other way, it's only Maseches Sofrim, therefore lo michu chachmei ador bezeh v'tzarachian. So the Aruch HaShulchan is not at all excited about the common practice, but he notes that's what happened, and that's how things developed. And Lamaisa, the Minhag Olam, is to rely on this Siyam. There is a tshuva in the Minchas Yitzchak, Chela Beisim and Sayiches, Dayan Weiss, which Rav Asher Weiss noted this tshuva recently. I saw a quote in the Dirsha Mishnah Brura as well. He quotes a sefer called the Pri Yitzchak, which is a biography of Rav Yitzchak Isaac Nizidishov, which I tried to find on Osar Chacham. I only found the supplementary volume to this biography, but not the original biography. But either way, Minchas Yitzchak quotes in this biography that Yitzchak Isaac Nizidichov thought that there's a Tov Sofrim in the Maseches Sofrim. And instead of saying that the Bechorim are Misanim, it should say Bechorim Misagnim, Misangim, that they have a good time, that they involve themselves in oneg rather than fasting. So that might be a Hasidic shavuot. But Rav Asher pointed out that there isn't really any legitimate source for making such a contention, given that this is the Maseches Bechorim, the way all versions have it, and it's quoted by many Rishonim, it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, so to make such a suggestion is highly questionable, And Rav Asher was surprised that the Minchas Yitzchak actually takes it seriously, at least to the extent that Dayan Weiss concludes that given that there are a number of sfeikos as to whether we have to take this Taina so seriously to begin with, so the minhag developed that people are makel about the Taina how they see him, and therefore you could have potentially lower standards for what constitutes a siyum, and he throws this into the mix to allow for various kulos as necessary. In Rabbi Eider's Sefer in Hilchos Pesach, he quotes what was then an unpublished tshuva from Rav Henkin, which has recently been published in the collection of Rav Henkin's tshuvas and ksavim entitled Gvuras Eliyahu on Arachayim, which appears here in Simon Kuf Mem Gimel, put together by Rabbi Kleinerman, now of Brooklyn, formerly of Lakewood. So in that tshuva, which Rav Schechter quotes in his recent tshuva as well, Rav Henkin writes that he thinks the fact that the minhag developed in such a way to allow for a siyum on Tanis Bechorim, which isn't really consistent with the way we treat even minor Tanios in general, is because that it's only a minhag anyway and not Mikra Din. And if it would have been Mikra Din, then we would be much more stringent about our standards for breaking the Tanis. And then Rav Henkin himself adds that since it's a little bit questionable how a siyum is effective to allow you to break the fast, maybe if you want to take it seriously, it would be appropriate to be part of the Tanis Vitzdaka as well. To that point of how the Tanis is, or the level of seriousness of the siyum on Tanis Bechorim, I'll just quote a pithy line of my friend and colleague, Rabbi Danny Rapp, who likes to say that he has never been to a milcha kaseim during the 9 days, nor a flesha kaseim on Tanis Bechorim. But the bottom line, it is quoted from a number of poskim that at least if push comes to shove, given as it is, it's questionable, but lemaisa we are makel, this is quoted from Shlomo Zalman or Rav Yashiv, that even if you don't actually eat from the Sudas Siyam, you could still break your fast. So if you went to Shul and you heard a Siyam and then you left before eating anything, you still have the right to not fast that day. So given that general orientation that our standards for Siyam are lower, Shlomo Zalman is quoted as saying that in a Shaat HaTchak situation, you can participate in a Siyam on Tanis Bechorim over the phone, and if you listen to the Siyam over the phone, you then have the right to not fast. And that's what Poskim are saying now. Under the circumstances, we don't have a Brera, so you can listen to a Siyam over the phone via Zoom or whatever the medium is if you don't have your own Siyam to make, and rely on that level of being Mishtateif in the Simcha to not fast. That's what Rav Schechter put in print, that's what Rav Asher Weiss said, and I believe that's pretty much the consensus of Poskim across the board, that is correct, appropriate, and effective. On the call that Rabbi Sachs had with the Shul a couple nights ago, he mentioned that which basically all communities are saying at this point, that this year we should dispense with Bir Chametz. There are not going to be any communal Bir Chametz gatherings due to the need for social distancing and limiting resources that could oversee a fire. And many Rabbanim are strongly cautioning against making any private fires and relying on other forms of being the Kayim Tashbisa. So as far as that is concerned, what is the Lechachila need to get rid of chametz through beer, be mekayim tashbisa through beer? So that's the machlokas tanaim, the Mishnah im psachim and daf kaf aleph. The Mishnah there presents a machlokas to Rabbi Yehuda and the chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda says, the Mishnah says, source number 8, Rabbi Yehuda omer ein beer chametz elis reifa. The chachamim omer af mefar bezar leruach amataliyam. Rabbi Yehuda says that beer chametz must be performed dafka through burning, and the other, the Chachamim hold that, no, you can destroy chametz through other methods as well. You can crumple it up and throw it into the wind or throw it into the sea, and that is sufficient. How do we paskin? So the Torah quotes from Rashi based Midrasho that some Rishonim hold like Rabbi Yehuda, and the majority of Rishonim hold like Chachamim, that the Shita Sagon and Shita Sarambam, that you can be Mefar Zala Ruach or get rid of the Chamis through other methods. Some Rishonim hold, the Torah quotes the possibility, I believe from the Rush, that even Rabbi Huda would agree that if you're doing Bir Chamis Kodem Zman Ha'Isser, Kodem the sixth hour in Erev Pesach, then he would agree to Chachamim that you could even be Zar Mefar L'Ruach, and the need for Sreifa is only once Zman Bir actually kicks in. So in Shon Aruch, the Mechaber paskins at L'Chachila, you should do Bir Chamis Ha'idei Sreifa, Simen Tafim Hei Sif Aleph, Keita Bir Chamis, Sorfer Oparo V'Zar L'Ruach V'Zar Kul Yam, So even though, technically speaking, we pass like Chachamim, that you could do it any possible way, but the minog is to burn it, as the Mishnah Berurah points out in Sifkata and Vav, because we're choshesh lechachila for those poskim who pass like Rabbi Huda, that ain bir chametz ella srefa. So that's lechachila, but where that's there are other considerations, then we dispense with that. So under the circumstances, the various considerations being put forth by our Rabbanim are, number one, if people, so the assumption is that the reality is we can't have any communal burning of chametz. If people are going to burn chametz in their backyard, then there's a potential for sakana if someone doesn't know how to properly manage a fire. There's the potential for Eva that if all the neighbors are going to see that all the Jews are going out having a good time with a bonfire, that doesn't look good. And Rav Schechter also pointed out, I think Rabbi Sachs may point this out as well, that we're not all Bikiyim, and how do you do a fire properly halachically? In order to effectively accomplish Tashmitsu, you have to burn it thoroughly. And if you don't know what you do, you may end up burning the outer part, and the inner part of the chametz may still be edible, and you haven't accomplished Tashmitsu. So the recommendation is to leave over, you be Mekayim Tashbisu with the Kezayis, so you leave over a Kezayis of Chametz that, as we do in Erev Pesach Chalias B'Shabbos, which I believe we expect on our calendar next year. Mr. Hashem, either the Gula should come with them, and maybe we'll be Mekadosh Al Pi Re'iyah, and it won't be, but on the calendar that's what appears. So Erev Pesach Chalias B'Shabbos, the way we do Tashbisu is you take a little bit of chametz, just a bare kezayis, and flush it down the toilet in a way that hopefully won't clog the drain. So that's the recommendation for how to do it most effectively this year. I saw the Kol Kore from the Poskim in Lakewood. I quoted as much from David Feinstein and Shmuel Kamenetsky as well. And I just saw posted today a letter from Mefesko Roth in Williamsburg, Bar Park, sorry, that... that you shouldn't do any public beer chametz or anything in the front, but if you can do it safely in your backyard, then that's okay. But I think the recommendation of most is don't even try it in your backyard. That would be you have the risk of sakana anytime you're adding an extra fire, and it's not worth it these days, even if you know what you're doing. Okay, a couple other brief points that are unique to Pesach this year. So in the Maaser Rav, they quote that the practice of the bone was not to sell chametz gamor with mechiras chametz. Rabbi Eider writes that was the practice of Aaron Cutler. That was the practice of the Rav to be machmir not to sell chametz gamor. Rav Schechter himself has a different mahalik about mechiras chametz and what's considered harama. His mahalik is that harama is not a problem if it avoids an iser. So the reason that we do harama for selling a b'chor behemoth tahor is to avoid the possible iser giza vavoda. The only problem would be to do a harama to avoid a nifas asei deraisa. But here, if you're going to sell 99% of your chametz, even you sell chametz gamor, but you're going to leave over a little bit to be mekayim tashmishu on, so you haven't removed the possibility to be mekayim the mitzvah deraisa properly, so that's not harama and deraisa. And therefore, in principle, you could sell chametz gamor. Shechter himself, I believe, was machmir mishum kvodo of the Rav, but in principle, he didn't think them ikradin it's a problem. So that's many rabbanim are saying this year, that even if in general you have the practice of not selling chametz gamor, but may be appropriate to consider changing the practice this year. Not so much, or one consideration that was raised is who knows what the supply of food will be after Pesach, and maybe we won't have access to chametz. So Rabbi Heineman, I was listening to a recording from a couple of weeks ago. He said he didn't think that was such a big problem because even if you won't be able to access chametz, so you can still eat Pesach food for a while afterwards. You're not going to starve. And Rav Asher Weiss, on a conference call with Rabbanim last week or the week before, said that he finds it hard to believe that there's really going to be a shortage of food. But aside from that, Rabbanim were also raising another issue. This was, I believe Rabbi Sachs mentioned this on his call, and this was in the letter from the Lakewood Poskim, that another concern is that if everyone's going to rush to the stores after Pesach to buy more chametz, that's going to create social distancing problems, and people may not be able to do that safely. So many are recommending, or at least suggesting, to consider selling chametz gum, or even if your normal practice is not to do so. One final point, which Mayor had raised before we started, a chiddush that I believe a chiddush that Rav Schechter thought, which I haven't seen anyone else say, but based on his understanding of something that the Rav said, that come the first day of Pesach, normally we would say Tfilas Tal if we're in Shul, but Tfilas Tal is generally something, all the piyutim and the yosos are things that we say b'tzibor. There's nothing wrong if you, at least for Tal, there's nothing wrong per se if you want to say the piyut, but it's not something that there's any reason to say without a tzibor. So that being the case, what is the trigger for beginning to say, or for Nusach Ashkenaz stopping to say Masha Baruch Amar Degashem? So generally speaking, the practice of Nusach Ashkenaz is that come Musaf on the first day of Pesach, we continue to recite Masha Baruch Amar Degashem in the silent Shemin Esrei, and then after Tfilas Tal, we begin saying, omitting Masha Baruch, come in, as opposed to Nusach Svard, where just as we, our machri is Masha Baruch Amar Degashem before the Shtol Shemin Esrei of Musaf on Shmini Yetzeres, and Nusach Tal, in Nusach Svard, there'd be machri is Marad Tal, because Nusach Svard is knowing to say Marad Tal during the silent Shemin Esrei as well. But Rav Schechter pointed out, based on his understanding of the Rav, and this appears, the basic point appears in Mipnine Harav, page 35, the Rav, in order to change what he referred to as a description of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, which is what Masha Peruach is, as opposed to the saying Tal Marta L'Vracha, so that is to be done in the context of a tzibur. So normally speaking, if you have a tzibur gathered together to say Tal, then that is the tzibur endorsement of changing this Torah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and no longer reciting Masha Baruch Hu Marad HaGashem. But absent the tzibur this year, Rav Schechter thought that the appropriate thing that in order to be machri, so to speak, that we're saying that we're stopping to say Masha Baruch Hu Marad HaGashem, then everyone, even if you normally daven Nusach Ashkenaz in the Shtol Shemin Esrei, should say Morid HaTal just that one time. And the fact that all Klai Yisrael, wherever they are saying Morid HaTal that one time, that in some level creates a Tzibor Hachraza, the equivalent of Tfilas Tal. And then beginning Mincha on the first day of Pesach, you've already omitted Masha Baruch, and now if you daven Nusach Ashkenaz, you will continue to omit Morid HaTal as well. Because he pointed out that Me'ikar Adin, even if you said, the Tosus writes in Tanis Daf Gimel, put up on the screen over here for a second. Tosus writes Tanis Daf Gimel on the days Dibra Maschil Bimosachama Arim Masha Baruch Ei Makfir Noso. So if you say Marad Geshem during the summer, you have to repeat Shemin Esrei. Avalim Dileg Shelo Amar Lo Geshem Lo Tal Ein Machzira. But if you skip it, you don't say either. Then you don't have to go back. Vimosa Geshamim Lo Amar Mashiv Ruach Ein Machzira. So Amar Marad Geshem Machzira. So Achein Im Amar Marad Tal Vimosa Geshem Ein Machzira. So even if you don't normally say Marad Tal, if you're not supposed to say Marad Tal, if you did, than a mafirin. So even if we would have assumed without this chiddush that just like every year we say Masha Baruch Amar Regeshem during the Shil Shemin Esrei of Musa, first day of Pesach, so we would have assumed to do the same thing this year, to say Masha Baruch Amar Regeshem during the Shil Shemin Esrei. So even if that's correct, then this whole chiddush is wrong, but a mafirin also, because if you say Marot Atal anytime during the winter, that's not Ma'akis. That's Rosh Hashanah chiddush that he thought would be appropriate Dafka this year, if there's no Tzibur, that everyone should say Marot Atal during the Shil Shemin Esrei of Musaf on the first day of Pesach. Okay, we should all have as Rabbi Willock said, to say a Chag Bari Kashiv V'Sameach. Should all be healthy and safe. We should have Yeshua's Refuos. And we will say a Kashiv together before we sign off.